Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Ches. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Leon Ferdman, Yehuda Leib, Ben Chaim Tzvi HaKohen. All the Neshamas we learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin at the two dots, about a third of the way down, 10 lines down, with a quoting of the Mishnah. Hashol Kli Mechaveiro Me'erev Yantif. If a person borrows a Kli, an Erev Yantif, so then the Kli will follow the Tchum of the person who borrowed it, not the person who actually owns the object. So this is something that seems obvious. And the Gemara says, Pshita, if the person already took possession of it on Erev Yantif, so something that you borrow is really yours, so obviously it should go after your Tchum. So the Gemara says that should be obvious, Pshita. So the Gemara says, no, there's a Chiddush over here, Lo Tzricha, Shelo Misarlo Ela B'Yantif. As we had pointed out previously, this halacha applies even if he didn't take possession of it. So Reuven borrows something from Shimon on Erev Yantif. Shimon says, no problem, it's yours. But he doesn't go and get it until Yontif morning. So then in that situation, I might have thought, Ma'u detema, I would have said, La birshusei okme, it wasn't yet physically in Reuven's possession, so it still should follow the one who owns it, who's in his possession, Shimon, even though he had lent it. I might have thought that it still retains Shimon's tchum and not going over to Reuven's tchum, Kamash Rulan, in this situation, that since it was lent, even though it wasn't switched in ownership, it goes after the borrower's tchum. And this is Messiah Rav Yochanan. This Mishnah, or this understanding of our Mishnah, is in accord with what Rav Yochanan said. The Amar Rav Yochanan, Hashoah Kli Mechad Erev Erev Yontif. If you borrow something from your friend on Erev Yontif, Athapi Shalom Nisanelo Elab Yontif, even though you didn't physically take possession of it until Yontif morning, Harehu Kiragli Hashoah. The Tchum goes after the borrower and not after the person who owns it. This is exactly how we just explained on Mishnah. Then we quote the Mishnah again. It says, B'yom tov, if you in fact borrowed something on Yontif, so then it's Kiragli Hamashil. Then it follows the Tchum of the owner of the item who had it in his possession at the Bein Hashmashas period of time. And you're only borrowing it on Yontif. So the Gemara says again, Pshita, obviously, whoever has it in their possession at the Bein Hashmashas period of time, that certainly should be the default, that the Kli should follow that person's Tchum. And here it was the owner as well. So certainly, Pshita, the Gemara says again, is a chiddush here. Lo, tzricha, we need this case to teach us d'ragil v'sholmine. What happens if every week Yankel borrows something from Reuven? Every week he borrows something from Reuven. So I would have thought, ma'av d'tema, birishusei komokinle. You might have said that since every week Yankel borrows this from Reuven, so therefore it should in fact go and be in the possession of Yankel already. After all, that's what happened the last 5 Yamim Tovim. That's what happened the last 5 Shabbosim. So, Kamash Vulam, the Chiddush of our Mishnah is, in this situation, we don't assume that. Because, you know what? When Yankel is borrowing this from Reuven, this week he didn't ask him. Every other time he asked him. Meimar Amar. So, in this situation, Reuven says, you know what happened? Dilma Mashkach in Shachrina. He's a little bit maybe embarrassed, or he's sorry that he's always borrowing it from me. So he found some other guy. He found another person who he can borrow this item from. And therefore he asked him. And since he didn't ask me before Yontif as he always did, or ask me before Shabbos as he always did, so in this situation, when he didn't ask me, even though he regularly does, it stays in the owner's possession because that's where it is during the Bein Hashmashas period of time. And we don't presume that even though he borrows it, he asks him the following Yontif morning, listen, I forgot to ask you yesterday, but I want to take possession of it. So fine, you can lend it to him on Yontif, that's not a problem, but it follows the tchum here of the owner rather than the person who borrows it. Then we quote the Mishnah again. And it said, if a woman borrows something from her friend, for example, spices or salt or water for her cooking or her baking, so we said, in this situation, the specific items, according to the Tanakhama, go to each their person to their tchum. So the woman who had the dough, so the dough follows her tchum, but the spices and the salt or the water, according to the Tanakhama, they follow the person who owns those spices, water, or salt, and therefore this dough or this cooking dish that was made using two people's different ownership, so if they have different tchums, so then you're only allowed to go bring this dish, this dough, or this item that you baked or cooked to a place that both of the tchumim can go to. This is going to lead us into an extremely interesting and complex discussion, and we're going to try to learn this simply like Rashi does, but there are many, many different ways to learn this upcoming Gemara. So we're going to start off with a story, really. Kisolik Rabbi Abba, when Rabbi Abba went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he was somewhat nervous that they wouldn't accept him in Eretz Yisrael. Here he's coming up from Babel. He's a Talmid Chacham, but they don't necessarily know him. And he's worried that they're not going to accept him in Eretz Yisrael. So Amar, Rashi says, he either said this tefillah when he wanted to go up there or while he was on the derech going up. So he says the following tefillah. Yehei Ra'avah, it should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. The Ema Milsa, that I should say, Avart, the Tiskabel, that the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael should accept. Now, Rashi says, he said that when I get there, they should listen to my Shmaisa, the Chachmei Hamakom, they should listen to it, Shelo Evosh, and I shouldn't be embarrassed. What exactly was he so afraid of? So Chassam Sofer writes down that he was misyarid from the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. He was afraid of them because he knew what Abaye had said in Ksubos, She'omar, She'echod mehem hu kishnayim me'itanu. Abaye had said that the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael are twice as good as we are. One of them is as good as two of us. However, Avolo Yoda is Divrei Rava. He didn't know what Rava said. Who had added that he said, once the person from Bavo goes up to Eretz Yisrael, Echad mi Bavo sh'olul Eretz Yisrael, harihu kishnai michach mi Eretz Yisrael. He becomes twice as good as the Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. But tam sh'lo yada zos, mishum sh'af Rava lo lomad zos mikra. The reason why Rabbi Abba didn't know Rava's memra was because he wasn't learned that from a pasuk. El shira shikachi kishayetz Rav Yirmiyah. He saw this himself, and that's why he made this comment. And that's why Rabbi Abba never heard this comment, and therefore he only heard what Abaye said, and therefore he was afraid of these great Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. Chassam Sofer also adds, and he says, you see from our story as it will unfold, that he wasn't successful. This tefillah that Rabbi Abba asked was not, in fact, accepted, and they actually laughed at him, as we'll see in the upcoming story. And Chassam Sofer says the reason why his tefillah wasn't accepted because Ein Derech Levakish Kein. It's improper to ask that your vort should be accepted, that your Torah learning should be accepted. Ella asei dvarim l'shem polin. You should learn for the sake of learning. Vein domel tefilas of Nachman Nakonish is spalish lo yichashel b'dvar halacha. It's different than somebody saying, which many people say this tefillah, that they shouldn't make a mistake in dvar halacha if they're giving a shir. I say it every day that I shouldn't make a mistake in giving the shir. And here, Rabbi Abba wasn't doing this that he shouldn't make a mistake. He was doing it l'chvodo, for his own personal benefit, that they should think that he's a Talmid Chacham. And therefore, ultimately, they laughed at him, and they didn't accept his words. In any event, now let's see the story. So, Baruch Hashem, he goes up to Eretz Yisrael. He had said to Tzvila that I should say something good over there. And Kisolik, when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rabbi Yochanan, the Girsa that we have is Rabbi Yochanan. On the side, it says the Girsa should be Rabbi Ovin. Again, we'll see the different versions of who these people were. Rabbi Hanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Zera, that's the first version. Others say, Rabbi Lo is Rabbi Yavo, Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha. He met up with all these Samaroyim, the Yosef and the Karmi. They were sitting and learning, and he joined them. And they asked on our Mishnah, Amai, why in our case of our Mishnah do we just say that the dough that was owned by one woman and she borrowed the spices from another woman or the water or the salt, that the product that is made, either the bread that they baked or the dish that they made, should follow the tchum of both of them. Why, they asked, Amai v'libatel mayim u'melach, why isn't the water and the salt batel, nullified, l'gaba yisa? The isa is the majority, the isa is the important thing, so it should be batel. As Rashi says, the water and the salt are zutre, are very small, very minor, compared to the dough, that is much, much larger than a fisha. And therefore, these Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael said they don't understand our Mishnah. Why is the tchum over here only where they overlap, instead of saying whoever owned the dough, the woman that belonged to the dough, so the melach, the salt, and the water that she got from a friend, we forget about the tchum of those, and we just follow the tchum of the woman who owns the dough. That was their question. So Rabbi Abba said, oh, here's my chance. And Amal Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba said to them, I have the teretz. We turn to Lamed Ches Amud Beis. And again, this is a complicated sugya. We're going to learn it like Rashi. You see, the Rashis are actually quite long on this stuff. And there are many, many different ways to learn this Gemara. We're going to learn it, try to learn it as straightforward and simple as we can. So Rabbi Abba responded to them and said, the reason why the melach and the mayim are not batel is because we compare it to the following case. What happens if Hare Shinis Arev lo kav chitin biasara kavin chitin shel chavero? What happens if I had one kav of chitin, a kav of a certain measure, if I had a kav of chitin, and it somehow got mixed in with my friend's 10th kavin of chitin? So, Yochal halo v'chodi, can this guy who he has 10 and I had 1, he now has 11. Can he just be happy and eat all 11 of them? V'chodi means to be smiling. He can take it to the bank. In other words, v'yismach b'dover, Rashi says, shalo amabo. He didn't do any extra work, and suddenly, instead of 10 kavin, he has 11 kavin. Is my 1 kav batel to his 10 kavin? Clearly not. So too, the salt and the water is not batel to the dough. The owner of the salt and the water was not mevatel their salt and water to the dough, and therefore, that's why it has the overlapping tchum, only where both the salt, the water, and the dough can go. That's the only place that you can take it, and we don't say that the salt and the water is batel. Just like we don't say that the kav of chitin is batel, that this person doesn't have to reimburse me for my kav that's mixed in with his 10 kavin. Achichu alei, all these amarayim, they laughed at him. Mar will explain in a moment why they didn't accept what he said. We'll see that some did, some didn't. Amalu, Rabbi Abbas is surprised, says, why are you laughing at me? Gusaychu shakli? Rashi explains that malbushchem lokachti, shatem mesachakim olai. Did I take something from you that you're making fun of me? What did I do to upset you? Adrachichu alei, they laughed at him more. Again, clearly, Rabbi Abba had somehow davened incorrectly that they should accept what he was saying, and therefore he was paid back over here for his inappropriate tefillah. Again, on this great tzaddikim's level, it's considered an inappropriate tefillah, and therefore they laughed at him twice. Now, why did they laugh at him? So Amar Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya explained, Shaper Ovid, it was appropriate that these Amaroyim rejected what Rabbi Abba said, and that they laughed at him, the Achichu Alei. Why? Because he gave us a crazy example. He said, what happens if we have a kav of chitin mixed in with 10 kavin of chitin? Why did he give that example? Maishno chitin bisorim de lo kamlu. He didn't say if you have a kav of chitin that got mixed in with 10 kavim of barley. Now that would be the havale min bishenu mino. That would be two disparate items. And everybody agrees min bishenu bino is batel. Umin bishein omino is batel according to Kuliyama. Everybody agrees to that. So if he really wanted us to show that the salt and the water aren't batel with the dough, so he should have given us an example of kav chitin ba'asora kavin shel sa'orin. But he didn't give that example. So what is he telling us? He's saying chitin b'chitin, that is different, it's not batel. But that's not true. Chitin b'chitin nami. Even in his example of chitin b'chitin, there are opinions that say that it is not batel. Okay, nihi del Rabbi Yehuda lo batel. Rabbi Yehuda says that min b'mino is not batel. That's the famous sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi brings this down. We have this in many places. Min b'mino is not batel. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, a kav of chitin would not be batel in the 10th kavin of his friend. Okay. According to the Chachamim, L'Rabbanon, Mevatel Batel. Min Bimino is Batel. So his whole argument is of no value, because according to the Chachamim, the argument that he made, this person's Kav Chitin in the 10 Kavin of Chitin of his friend is not Batel, it is Batel. So what exactly was Rabbi Abba telling us? You tried to show wheat into wheat, and that would be not a problem? No, wheat into barley is batel, and wheat into wheat is batel according to the Chachamim. So your idea that the salt and the mayim is not going to be batel, no, it is going to be batel, and therefore, Rabbi Abba, your answer is wrong, and that's why they laughed at him. However, Rav Safra comes to Rabbi Abba's defense. Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe. Now, Moshe is a lashon either of Shvua. Rashi says, Biyakara de Moshe Rabbeinu. He was swearing by the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu. But elsewhere, in Sukkah, Rashi explains that Moshe means Gdolei Ador. In other words, he was saying to Rav Hoshaya, you are a Gadol Ador, like Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gadol Ador. Or elsewhere, in Chulin, Rashi says that Moshe means the equivalent of saying somebody, you're a Talmud Chacham. In any event, this was high praise he was giving him, but at the same time, he was saying, you're wrong. Moshe, you, Rav Hoshaya, are a great Talmud Chacham. I agree to that. However, Shapir Ka'amris, is your attack on Rabbi Abba correct? In fact, it's not. Because, Velo Shmielu, didn't you hear, Hodama Rabbi Chia Kitosva? Rabbi Chia came from a place called Kitosva. Mishmei the Rav said over the name of Rav the following member. And he said, Haborer Tsroros Migorno Shel Chavero. The din is that if you go and sell wheat, you're entitled to go and sell a certain amount of schmutz inside of it, a certain amount of pebbles in the wheat. The Gemara elsewhere tells us a certain set amounts that it's known. There's a certain amount of waste product when you're harvesting the wheat. You're sometimes also harvesting some garbage with it as well. And for every X amount, you're entitled to have a certain amount of waste. Now, that is going to make what you're selling a larger amount. So, for example, a person has 10 pounds of wheat, it has 9.5 pounds of wheat and 0.5 pounds of junk. So here along comes a person who's haborer tsroros migarno shel chavero. He takes this 10 pounds of wheat and he picks out the 0.5 pounds of pebbles that are inside the wheat. So now the other person only has 9.5 pounds of wheat. Now he's going to sell that not for 10 pounds, he's going to sell it for 9.5 pounds because that's all he has. But if he had sold it for 10 pounds, he'd get more, even though he's only selling the same 9.5 pounds of wheat and the other is 0.5 of pebbles. But the buyer, when he pays for 10 pounds of wheat, knows he's only getting 9.5. Now, you can't tell somebody, here's 9.5, it's pure wheat, I want you to give me the same amount that you give me for 10. That's just not the way the business worked. So therefore, this person who came along, Haboritz Rose, Migarno Shechaveru, who pulled out this 0.5 of garbage, of pebbles, from his friend's wheat, is Chayv L'Shalimu D'Mechitim. He has to pay him for these pebbles as if they were wheat, because the owner would have been able to sell it as if it was all wheat, 10 pounds of wheat, and now he can only sell it as 9.5 pounds of wheat. So the 0.5 pounds of wheat, quote, that he's not selling, which is all pebbles, the person who picked out those pebbles has to go pay for it. He damaged him, and therefore he has to pay for it. What do you see from this? Rav Safra says, Almo kilo chasrei. Kilo means the mida, the weight. He caused it to be lessened. Chasrei. So the same thing applies over here to the water and the salt. What do you see? Hochanami kilo chasrei. The water and the salt take up a certain amount of space in the dough. So when this dough is valuated, it's including the value of the salt and the water. They're not nullified, and that's why they're not nullified. So Rav Safra says, Rabbi Abba is really right. They're not nullified because they're worth something. And just like the person can't say, well, now I have 11 kavan of wheat, tough luck, buddy. He has to pay him for the kav of wheat that fell in. So too, Rabbi Abba was right in saying over here, the salt and the water is still belonging to the other person, to the lady who gave it, and therefore the overall dough is worth more because of the salt and water that's there. And therefore, that additional benefit, albeit it's a small amount, is what makes the tchum now have to be the tchum for both of these women and not just for the women who own the dough. So Rabbi Safra has defended Rabbi Abba. Abaye now is going to question Rabbi Safra. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbi Safra, V'lo shonalei lamar bein mamon sheyesh lo tovin lemamon she'ein lo tovin. How can you say that these two are the same? He says to Rav Safra, in the situation where there were the pebbles that were removed by the person, so the owner of that wheat has a tiny, hey, you removed that 0.5 pounds of pebbles in my example, you cost me 0.5 pounds of wheat, so you have to pay me. I'm coming after you for that 0.5 pounds that you caused me to lose. But in the case of the mayim or the melach in the dough, she willingly gave it to him. She's not coming back for it. So therefore, why wouldn't they become nullified? Why wouldn't the mayim or the melach become batel? Because there is no tovim. This woman doesn't ask for it back. It was given as a present. And therefore, in this situation, there are no tovim. So Rabbi Safra, you're incorrect, Abaye tells him. Rabbi Safra, Lo shoni le lamar bein mamon sheyesh lo tovim lamamon she'ein lo tovim. There's a difference over here. In one case, with the pebbles, somebody wants that money. And the case of the dough, nobody's asking this woman to pay for the water and the salt. Rav Safra is not accepting this, however. Rav Safra says to Abaye, you're wrong. Abaye, Rav Safra says to Abaye, and what you think, everything is now perfectly fine. Ula taimech, according to you, that it makes a difference between tovim versus ein tovim, so that's not correct. Because Hodama Rav Chista said in the following case, and this is a very complicated case, and let's look inside in the Rashi, and we'll read the entire Rashi, it's a big Rashi, it's found on the third of the medium-sized lines in the Rashi, Dibra Masul Ultaimeh, Hodama Rav Chista, Nevela Botla Bishchuta. So what the Gemara is telling us right now is, there's a case where Nevela, meat that was not shechted properly, the animal just died, and it's Nevela meat, which is Matameh, if it's a smaller amount of nevela meat that's mixed in with a larger amount of shchuta, in other words, non-tameh meat, so the nevela meat that's in there is betela, it is nullified in the shchuta. Let's finish reading the Gemara before we get to the Rashi. The reasoning is, because it's impossible that the shchuta could ever become nevela. In other words, the shchuta is tahora. It doesn't have the ability to be metameh, b'maga, or masa, like nevela does. So the shchuta can never become nevela. We'll see inside in Rashi what exactly this means. As opposed to, if the shchuta meat was the smaller one, that's not going to be ena b'teila b'nevela. It won't become nullified in the larger amount of nevela meat, because l'fisha evshel in nevela shetiyos shchuta, because the nevela meat could become like shchuta. How could that be? So Rashi will explain in a moment. We'll see it inside in the Rashi to go over this, because when the nevela becomes srucha, it becomes spoiled or decayed so much so, it no longer has a status in nevela. It loses its ability to be metame, b'mago, b'masa, and then it's like the shchuta meat that it's not metame. Now, this is what Rav Safra said to Abayi. Now, let's understand this a little bit more before we get to the punchline over here in the Gemara. So, in the Dibra Masel, again, Ulutaymech, Rashi says, this is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, Amrinim b'Menachos. This is the famous machlokis that we have in the Gemara in Menachos. The Rabbi Yehuda says, D'amar, min b'mino lo batil. As we've already pointed out, he holds that min b'mino is not batil, but min b'sheino mino is batil. And on this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tani Rabbi Chia said, Nevela u'shchuta b'telu zubazu. Nevela, meat, and shchuta, meat, are able to be nullified one on the other. Li Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda just said, min b'mino is not batel. So, how could that be? So, v'ashmin and Rabbi Chia, so when we understand Rabbi Chia, the Chiyama Rabbi Yehuda, hecha de'efshel olios kemoso. That's when it's min b'mino, is when they're exactly the same. I will efshel olios kemoso. If it's not like it, it's min b'she'eno mino havi u'batel. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say, in that situation, it's min b'she'eno bita. Now, what in the world does this mean? Uparish Rav Chista, that's where our Gemara comes in. It says, according to Rav Chista, Rav Chista explained this enigmatic Gemara in Chulin as follows. Hay efshur velo efshur de Rabbi Chia, it goes basar hamevatel dehu ruba azlinon. We look at the larger item, the thing that is being put into that larger item. So the first case, it was the nevela, smaller item, being put into the shchuta, the larger item. In the second case was the shchuta, was the smaller amount, being put into the nevela, that's the larger amount. And what he had said, Rav Chista explaining Rav Chia, dim efshar lo lios kemuad, if the larger amount could be like the smaller amount, so then it's min b'mino. V'lo have, if it can't, then it's min b'sheino mino. Now, what does this mean? Hilkach. Kizayis nevela, shinis arva bahar bezesim shel shchuta. The first case was you have a kizayis of nevela, let's say, that falls into many, many kizayis of shchuta. The shchuta is not metame, it is the larger amount. So in that situation, it's batla. The nevela is nullified in the shchuta, kimi she'eino sham. It's as if it's no longer there. Vanogeya behen, and if somebody were to now touch any part of this mixture of the small amount of nevela, the kizayis of nevela, mixed in with the many, many kizayisim of shchuta, and somebody touched a piece there, eino tame, because it's min b'sheino mino, and in that situation, it's batel. Why? Because the efshel l'shchuta, shuham avatel, the shchuta, which is the larger amount, which we call the one that nullifies, lios mitame, b'mag b'masa, can avail it, because it cannot become tame, it's shchuta. Can't become tame like nevela, that it's mitame b'masa and maga. However, the other way around, Avol shchuta, if you have a kizayis of shchuta, shenis arva b'nevela, deruba, then into a large amount of nevela. So then in that situation, ein shchuta batla. The shchuta, the small amount, doesn't become nullified. Why? Lios hanogea behen tame vadai l'srof chum amago. We don't say that the shchuta is nullified and it's all considered like 100% nevela, and therefore anybody that touches any of the meat over here would be metame b'mago b'masa. And therefore, if they then touched truma, vade lisrov truma, amago, why not? Lefi she'ef shol nevela, since this nevela, which is the mavato, the larger amount, shu mavato, she'te'ose tahora kishchuta, it could become like the shchuta and become tahora, the lechi misricha, when it becomes spoiled, and no longer is v'ena rui l'ger, this non-Jewish ger is allowed to go, the ger toshav here, is allowed to go and eat the nevela, but if it's no longer edible because it's spoiled, so then ein kriya nevela, it's no longer called nevela, and therefore it's now tahora. So in this situation, efshar l'nevela shetiyos shchuta. Now, that's the understanding of this Gemara. Now we get to Rav Safra's response to Abaye, why he disagrees with Abaye. Hachanami, Rav Safra says, dechi is lo lebalim lo batla. would you go so far as to say that if this nevela meat had an owner, that it wouldn't become batel? According to you, Abaye, we made a distinction between mamon she'ein lo tovim to mamon she'yesh lo tovim. So if this nevela meat had somebody that says, hey, that's my nevela meat, and I'm tovei it, I want the value of that, I was going to feed it to my dogs, I want the $5 of that nevela meat, I want it back, would you say in that situation that the nevela bat lo bishchuta doesn't apply? No, of course it still applies. So therefore, Abaye, you're wrong. It's not a distinction between whether something has tovim or not tovim. Here, the nevela meat owner could be tovei it. And even if you're going to say, v'chitei mahochanami, you're going to say, no, since there are no tovim, in fact, this is nevela meat that nobody wants. Who wants nevela meat? It's worthless. Are you going to feed it to your dog? It's worthless. So even you're going to tell me that this is a case as well where it's batel only because there are no tovim, but that's not true. Vatanya. Now Rashi points out it's not really a brisa. This is the gestalt of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, chevtzei hefker konin shvisa. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri tells us that something that is hefker, so this is ownerless nevela meat, so it's hefker. So hefker has its own shvisa, its own acquisition of the tchum at the time of Bein HaShmashos. Now, we don't paskin like this Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and we'll see in tomorrow's shiur that we'll show that this is just the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, but nevertheless, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, chevtzei hefker konin shvisa. So afa pishe ein lahem balim, even though it has no owners, so nevertheless, domim kemish yesh lahem balim. We view the hefker meat like it has balim. So too, we view the hefker salt or water, it's not owned anymore by the person, they're not tovei it, nevertheless, it's a separate entity, and it has its own shvisa, and therefore it should have its own tchum. So again, despite the fact Rashi says that nobody is toveya, this salt of water, it still has its own tchum, and therefore it isn't nullified. And therefore, Rav Safra says, Rabbi Abba was right. So how does Abaye respond to that? Amalei, Abaye says back to Rav Safra, Mikom and Dames Isurla Mamona. No, you're making a mistake. You're comparing Isura, which is tchum, to Mamona, which is who owns it. So Isura batel. The tchum is batel. And therefore, that's why the question that they asked was a good question. Rabbi Abba's answer is incorrect, because the tchum part should have been batel. You're right. The money part, mamona lo batel, that's not batel. Therefore, even if the woman still owns the salt and the water, that has nothing to do with the tchum. The isura is batel, but the mamona is lo batel. And therefore, the answer that Rabbi Abba tried to give is incorrect. So we're back to our original question. These Amorayim that asked the question that Rabbi Abba tried to answer, their original question is good. Amai, why in our Mishnah is the salt and the water not nullified? Isur batil. So the tchum of the salt and the water should be nullified. So the Gemara gives three potential answers. The time Amai, what is the reason? So Abaye Amar, Abaye says, it's a gezerah. The rabbi set up a gezerah over here. Shema tasa isa b'shutvis. If we allow the woman to go and take salt and water from another woman and mix it with her dough and not have the overlapping tchum, so next time, they're going to be a partnership. Okay, you have half a dough, I have half a dough. Let's share it, make one big dough, and then we'll go and split it afterwards. Now, here, you can't do that. Here, the Isa Bishutvis, so both of them owned it at the Bein HaShmashos, so then it has the tchum of both women. If the women don't have the same tchum, so then you can only bring this dough into a place that both of them were able to go, where they have an overlapping tchum. So this is a gzeira. If we allow the salt and water to become nullified, so then next time the dough is going to become nullified, which of course is not. Gzeira shematasa isa b'shutvis, and therefore it's a concern. Rava Amar, now the way Rashi understands this is he's not arguing on Abaye, below pligi on Abaye. El Amar Shani Chod, the Amar Shani Chod, each of them is giving a separate answer, a separate reason. Tosos has a slightly different understanding of this. He says Rashi's way is a little bit dochak, but we'll just learn simple again like Rashi. So Rava says, Tavlin Letaimo Avidi. The whole purpose of putting in salt or tavlin is to give it taste, is to spice it up. But Taimo Lo Batil. And tam, something that is a strong tam, never becomes nullified even in a mixture. So therefore, it's not batel because it's a spice. And tavlin l'tamo avidi, they're put in there for a purpose. So that's teretz number two. We turn to lama tesamet aleph. Teretz number three is given by Ravashi. Ravashi omar mishum dahavale dover sheish lo matirin. The dough called dover sheish lo matirin afilu be'elef lo batel. When is this dough going to be perfectly fine? as soon as Yontif is over, as soon as Shabbos is over, there are no tchum concerns. So why go around and have a problem and say you should be batel right now and you should be able to take it to both of their tchums and not only the overlapping part of the tchum, but even beyond the overlapping part, when if you just wait a day, it'll be perfectly fine to take it wherever you want. So this is what's called the Dovah Sheish L'Matirim. Why take advantage of a kula, so to say, when if you just wait a day to let the Yontif is over, there's no need to take advantage of a kula. So that's Rav Ashi's Teretz. Three Teruts into the question that these three Amarayim asked, and Rabbi Abba tried to give a Teretz to, but he was his Teretz was not accepted. Then we quote the Mishnah. We had another opinion in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's Poter B'mayim. Rav Yehuda said that the water, in fact, does become nullified. So Gemara says, he only says it about the water, implying Mayim in, the water is Batel, Melach Lo, but the salt's not going to become Batel. He agrees with the Tanakhama about the salt. Gemara says, what Tanya will learn in the Brisa of Yehuda Omer, Mayim Umelach Betelim, Bein Be'isa, Bein Be'kdeira, that not only is water, but also salt is going to become Batel, and this is true whether it's in a dough or whether it's in a pot, a cooked dish. So, clearly, this Brisa argues, and it's the same Rabbi Yehuda, how can he have two different opinions? Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that salt is not Batel, and in the Brisa he says salt is Batel. So Gemara says, Lokash, it's not a problem. Ha'bemelach Stomis, Ha'bemelach Istrokonis. It depends on the type of salt. Melach Stomis, which is the famous salt that makes people go blind, which is one of the reasons why we do Mayim Achronim, but that type of a salt is much smaller, it's much finer, and that dissolves totally in the dish that you're cooking or in the dough that you're baking, and therefore it's truly batel. And that's what the Bryce is talking about. When Rav Yehuda says Mayim Melach, he's talking about Melach Stomis, it's batel in Bein Be'isa Bein Mikdeira. But our Mishnah, which is talking about larger, coarser type of salt, this melech istrokonis, so that's much larger, and therefore you can see it. That's like what I said when we learned in the Mishnah. I said that's like the salt on these big pretzels. So those are large chunks of salt, and therefore that's not batel because it's still visible, and therefore that's our Mishnah. Even Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only the water is batel, but not the salt. Finally, Vatanya, the Gemara says, we have another Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, here we seem to have another distinction for Rabbi Yehuda. He says, yes, Mayim and Melach, salt and water, they're batel in a dough because they're totally absorbed within the dough. But when you put it in a pot, you're cooking a dish, it's not batel. Ein batel b'kdeira. Why? Mibnei rotva, because of the gravy. You have over here liquid. So how can you say that the salt and the water are nullified? You can see them. They're right there in the gravy. So he says, no, again, lokasha. There's no steer over here. It depends on whether it's a thick dish or a thin dish. Haba ova, haba raka. Our Mishnah, which says that the water is absorbed according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it's batel, is because you're dealing over here with a very thick type of a food, and therefore it has no gravy. All the water is absorbed in the food. As opposed to this brisa, which says, ein betel b'kdeira mipnei rotva, is talking about a gravy type of a dish. There's lots of soup there. There's lots of gravy over there. And therefore, the water is not butter. You can see the water. And that's the simple answer. Now, this was a very tough share. I hope I said it clearly. It's a good break point over here, obviously, to stop. Mitzvah Hashem will pick up almost close to the end of the Masechta. We just have two more dafim. Mitzvah Hashem will pick up at the new Mishnah tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.